Doesn't sound like, there I am. Thank you, guys. Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you today just for this church family and just the wonderful people here, the wonderful families, children. We're just blessed, Lord, to be a part of this church family. We thank you for it. Just think of how it started in a living room over 30 years ago, and you've blessed it ever since. We thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you that we have the privilege of being able to preach your word and listen to your word today. You have spoken. God Almighty, the ruler of this universe, has spoken to his people. We want to hear your word today. We're grateful for it. We want to listen to it. We want to understand it. And we want to obey it. And Lord, I'm struck with the fact that the Bible says so many amazing things about you, but today we're still talking about the amazing things you've said about us, about what you've done for us, what you've done to us, what you want to do through us. We just ask for your blessing on this message, that you change all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Caught a little cold this week, so I think I can get through this okay. Don't get too close to me today. No hugs today again, okay? I want to begin today with the greatest commandment. Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment, and he replied, the most important commandment is this. This is the number one thing that God wants. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all of your strength. And I want to ask a question this morning. Who here wants to claim they have ever done that? With all your heart, love God. With all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Anyone here want to raise their hand and claim they've achieved that? I want to raise my hand. I have obeyed this command. And in fact, I believe I am obeying the greatest commandment right now at this very moment. That I am loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength right now as I'm preaching the word of God to you. And I also believe I am regularly obeying this command. Does that sound arrogant to you? Do you think I'm self-deceived? Christian, I'm here to tell you today that you obey the greatest commandment much, much more often than you probably think you do. And your reluctance to raise your hand in answer to my question indicates that perhaps this message today might be helpful to you. Because after this message, I'm going to ask the same question. And I hope that you can humbly but confidently raise your hand and claim that you too have obeyed Christ's greatest commandment in your life. I'm continuing my series of messages entitled, Who Are You? At the beginning, we focused on what the Bible says about our soul. In more recent messages, we've been focused on how God created and even recreated our spirit, or what the Bible calls metaphorically our heart. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about how our spirit and heart have been recreated when we believed in Christ and were indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And last week, we talked about how God has made us into a new creation and what that means, and even with our position with God. Today, I want to talk about our new power that we have because we're Christians and indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. My primary text today is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. It commands something just as remarkable as the greatest commandment. Here is what God expects of us, Christian. Therefore, be imitators of God. Yeah. As beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you. That's a command. It's like, whoa, imitate God? Live a life loving people just as much as Christ loves people? Is that possible? Is that really what God expects of us? Yes, it is. And so my primary point today is this. You will act as holy and loving as God himself when God the Holy Spirit is controlling you. So let's first talk about the fact that God does expect us to imitate him. This is an amazing commandment. Let's look more closely at it. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ loved you. Now, some of you are probably thinking, hey, we need to back this down a little bit, Pastor. We need to share all the disclaimers and limits of what Paul is saying. And I will in a moment. But I want to be honest. I think most Christians are in the habit of downplaying and diminishing the power of God in their life. I think most Christians are often focused on how much they sin against God rather than how much they love and obey God. And it can sound more humble to talk about how sinful we are, but it may not be more humble, to be honest with you. Real humility is seeing yourself as God sees you. And we talked last week, God doesn't see you as a sinner. He sees you as a saint. So it'd be humble to say and to claim, I'm a saint, I'm not a sinner. That's a humble statement. So I think it is even more important to talk about what this command does say rather than all the things it doesn't say, which I'll get to in a moment. Christian, God expects you to imitate him. Wow. Think about that for a moment. How does God view you, Christian, if he actually is commanding you and expecting you to be like him? What does that say about how God sees you and the power that he's given you? He must believe you have a lot of power and even a divine power to love like he does and to be holy like he is holy. We are to act in such a way that when people see it, they see what God himself is like. That's what he's called us to. That's what he's expecting. That's what he's commanding. The text goes on to explain further. In what way are we to imitate God? We are to walk in love just as Christ also loved you. The word walk in the New Testament simply means to live. I like how the NLT puts it. Live a life filled with love. That's God's expectation of us. That's what it means to walk in love. And what kind of love is God expecting from us? Well, we are to love just like Christ loved us, an unconditional love, a supernatural, God-like love. Amazing. God is expecting us to love others just as much as Christ loves people. That's his expectation. And I don't think that the command could be any clearer. This is what God's expecting. And you know why he's expecting it? Because we're able. God would never, ever command us to do something that we're not able to do. So we got to figure out how we're able to do this. Other commands in the New Testament say the same thing. In 1 Peter we read, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. Also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And here's perhaps the most challenging command in the entire Bible. I can't believe Jesus even said this. You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So just so we wouldn't misunderstand what he's talking about, he said, no, it's just like God your Father in heaven. That's the perfection I'm talking about. We either got to dismiss that Jesus was exaggerating, or we got to figure this out. How is this possible? I believe God wants us to take these commands seriously and not just immediately diminish them or dismiss them because they do not match our experience. So if we're willing to take these commands seriously, then we are ready for some disclaimers, okay? So let me offer those so you don't think I'm crazy here. Of course, in this life, we cannot be perfect in the same way that God is perfect, okay? I don't think we will ever be as perfect as God. Even in our new perfected resurrected bodies on the new earth, I don't think we will ever be perfect in knowledge, for example. We're not going to be omniscient like God is. I don't think we'll ever attain to that. Likewise, we cannot imitate God in everything. Paul is not talking about God's mental or physical powers, but about God's moral powers, such as love and holiness. And of course, listen carefully, in this life, we will never always obey the greatest commandment, and will many times fall short of it. I certainly have. All of those things need to be admitted this morning, okay? We are not talking about a theology called perfectionism. That's heresy. That's unbiblical. That's false teaching. But again, we need to do our best to take these commands seriously and live up to them. In the remainder of this message, I want to try to answer two questions. Why does God expect us to obey these commands? Why do we have the ability to obey them? And second, how is this possible? What does it mean to imitate God, love God with all of our heart, and to be perfect? I'll offer my opinions. So first, why does God expect us to imitate him? Let's look again at the first part of our text. Therefore, be imitators of God. Now, you've heard the biblical rule of interpretation that when you see a therefore, you need to figure out what it's there for. It is because of what Paul had written earlier in the letter that we therefore are to be imitators of God. And what had Paul already written? Well, our primary text from last week. in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. This is a reason God expects us to imitate God. You remember this text from last week. You have put on the new self, already created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's why. Therefore, if and when your new self is controlling your life, you'll be acting and loving like God because your new self is already created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Imitating God is a logical and biblical conclusion to the new birth, our new creation, and the indwelling of God the Spirit, and Jesus Christ himself completely living inside of us, as we talked about last week. So based on Ephesians 4:24 and other Bible verses, I made these conclusions last week. You might remember. I said this, Christian, here is the amazing truth. God lives in you. Not just part of God, the Holy Spirit, or just part of the person of Jesus Christ, but you have a complete Jesus Christ living inside of you. In addition, I quoted one of my favorite Bible teachers, John MacArthur, who interpreted Ephesians 4:24 in this way, quote, "The believer then possesses a new nature, a new self, a holy and righteous inner person fit for the presence of God. This is the believer's truest self," unquote. Why does God expect us to imitate him? Because he lives inside of us and can live through us. Why does he expect us to be holy and loving like he is and to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength and be perfect? Because through the indwelling of God the Spirit, there is a perfect person living inside of you. Therefore, when the Holy Spirit is controlling you and living through you, you will act and feel like God the Spirit and Jesus Christ, whom he represents. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. In that moment, when the Spirit of God is controlling you, you will imitate God. You will love like God. You will be holy like God. You'll be acting holy like God. And you'll be able to imitate even the moral perfection of God when the person of God, the Spirit, is controlling you. I don't know how else we can do justice to all these Bible verses we were talking about other than to come to that conclusion. But again, we must add another disclaimer. While we can do this in the moments that God's Spirit is controlling us, we will never reach a point in this life that God's Spirit is always, every minute of every day, for the rest of our life, controlling us. We'll never get there. That's perfection. We're not going to get there in this life, ever. And in this way, we cannot imitate God. We can't be perfect like God. God is always controlled by his Spirit, isn't he? He doesn't even have a sinful nature. Just because a complete Jesus Christ lives in us does not mean he will always live through us, okay? This is our condition until we receive our new and perfect bodies and minds at the resurrection. We have God living in us, but we still sin. And because we sin, because we still get angry and anxious and discouraged and lustful and selfish, because we still experience these things, we can diminish how we view our power against sin. But again, today I want to highlight and emphasize our power over sin. And our potential power over sin is demonstrated by what God is expecting of us, what he is commanding of us. Our power over sin is demonstrated in the command, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ loved you. And I believe it is communicated my primary point today. You will act as holy and loving as God when God the Holy Spirit is controlling you. So next we can talk about how can we imitate God? How is this possible? Their primary text last week in Ephesians 4:24, Paul explained that through the indwelling of God's Spirit, we have a perfect person living inside of us. This is why a few verses later in Ephesians 5:1, in our primary text this week, Paul commanded us to imitate God. A few verses later, in Ephesians 5:18, Paul describes how this happens. How do we imitate God? We read there, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything." I believe here Paul explains how we can imitate God, which he commanded us a few verses earlier in verse 1, and obey the greatest commandment and act as loving and holy as God. And I believe he describes what that might look like even on a Sunday morning like today. Understanding what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit is important. As we've already discussed, we are already indwelled by the complete person of God, the Holy Spirit. We already have all of the Holy Spirit living in us. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is not talking about another experience when the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. Now, some churches teach that. That's not true. We're already completely indwelled with all of the Holy Spirit of God as a Christian. That happens at the moment that you are converted to Christ, okay? Don't forget that, and don't let anybody teach you otherwise. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit, this is talking about the Holy Spirit influencing us and controlling us, okay? He already indwells us. But is he controlling us and influencing us? And this is why being drunk with alcohol is given as an analogy of being influenced and controlled by God's Spirit. The Greek verb translated be filled is a rather powerful word here. It literally means, quote, to fill up completely. Dictionaries for New Testament Greek define the word as follows, quote, saturation to the brim, to fill up completely so that nothing is lacking. And the New Testament refers to a net crammed with fish, or a house filled with fragrance. Can also mean a dominating, controlling influence, to influence fully, possess fully, unquote. What fills a person governs their effect, attitude, and actions. A very authoritative theological dictionary of the Greek states regarding this word, to be filled can connote the idea that a man is completely controlled and stamped by the powers which fill him, unquote. Again, a strong word describing the influence of the Spirit in our life. He takes over. What happens when we are filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit? What kind of spiritual power do we have? It's incredible. It really is. In my last message, we discussed Romans 7, where Paul is honest about his continuing struggle with sin. And so you get the impression that struggling constantly with sinful desires is a normal Christian life. I don't believe that. But unfortunately, I think many Christians believe that. But I want to use Scripture to describe the real Christian life. And it is more powerful, more holy, more free from sin than many Christians understand. First of all, we all need to admit that we still have a powerful sinful nature. I do. But we also have something, or rather someone, who is even much, much more powerful than our sinful nature. Okay? Look at this verse, which is really a promise in Galatians. So I say, walk, live controlled by the Holy Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It is that simple. When the Spirit of God in you fills you and controls you, the desires of your sinful nature will not be able to control you or influence you. The Spirit of God in you is stronger than the sinful nature you have. Another verse that says the same thing. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do, because through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature. When the power of the Holy Spirit is controlling you, he shuts down the power of your sinful nature. So again, what happens when we are filled or controlled by God's Holy Spirit? What kind of spiritual power do we have? Let me give you some more examples of where the Bible is describing a person filled or controlled by God's Spirit and the results of experiencing this. And these verses are using the same Greek word that means to be filled, as in filled with the Holy Spirit. In Romans 15, 13, the apostle writes, I pray to God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the real Christian life right there. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be completely filled or controlled by the feelings of joy and peace because these are fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. Notice that this controlling power of the Holy Spirit, even over what we are feeling, hinges on trusting God. What we are believing in our minds, and the mind's function in all of this will be explained in my next messages in this series, okay? Very important. It's a linchpin of how this operates. Here's another verse, using the same Greek word twice on the same general topic. And what it says is so amazing, I'm not completely sure what it even means, okay? Paul says, I pray for you, Ephesians, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled, there's the word again, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. filled to all the fullness of the measure of God. What does that even mean? It means that God's taken completely over, okay? God's controlling your life. And Paul was praying this because he knew it was possible. If they would grasp God's love for them, they could live a life that's filled with all the fullness of God himself. The NLT puts it this way. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Christian, notice what kind of life is possible for us. To be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. It is biblical statements like this that should correct anyone who wants to diminish or underestimate how holy, how spiritually powerful, or how godlike a Christian can be. And how does all this happen? Let's look at the full statement here in Ephesians 3. I pray for you to know this love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. There he is again, the Holy Spirit of God, working in us to make this possible and controlling us with his power so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. It's because God living in us can fill us and control us that we can be filled completely and controlled completely with all the fullness of God. When God the Holy Spirit is controlling you, you will be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. You'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Therefore, when you are controlled by God the Holy Spirit, then you will be imitating God in your actions, in your attitudes, in your feelings, in your speaking. You'll be obeying the greatest commandment, loving God with the desires of your heart, the personality of your soul, the thoughts of your mind, and the speech and actions that come from your body. And the Holy Spirit is controlling you. The sinful desires and deceived parts of your mind are not operating. And this is how we can practically say that the whole engaged and operating part of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is in that moment loving God. And when all of that is happening, you'll be acting perfectly just as your Father in heaven is perfect in precisely the way that Jesus commanded us to be perfect like God, because God is controlling you. So what would it look like to be filled with and controlled by God's Spirit on a Sunday morning? Let's look at this verse again. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Christian, this is one picture of what Spirit-filled and Spirit-controlled people look like. When you are worshiping God in song on Sunday morning, when your mind is focused on Him, when your desires are focused on Him, when you are being thankful to Him, you can know that you are, in that moment, being filled and controlled by God's Spirit in you. And you can know in that moment as well that you are obeying the greatest commandment to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. I think it happens every Sunday morning for all of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ and have the Spirit of God living in us. Christian, I believe that any time you are following the desires of your heart and focusing your mind and using your body or speech to obey God, to pray to God, to thank God, to love or serve people, anytime you're doing that, you are practically loving God then with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's the one that's controlling you, not your sinful nature. So let me ask the same question I asked at the beginning of this message and see if you feel any more confident about raising your hand. Jesus said, the most important commandment is this: you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Again, I have a question. Who here wants to claim they have ever done that? Love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm not seeing everybody's hand. I must not have been convincing enough. Let's talk afterwards. All of this is how and when you'll be experiencing and obeying our primary text today. Therefore, be imitators of God. Listen, the only way you can obey this command is if you are loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay? There's no way you can imitate God if you can't obey the greatest commandment. I'm just here to tell you that all the commands in the Bible God expects us to obey because we're able to do it. He doesn't give us a single command in Scripture that he doesn't expect us to obey. He told the Israelites that. He said, the command I'm giving today is not too high for you or beyond your reach. Certainly people filled with the Spirit of God can obey the commands that God has given us. As my primary point today stated, you will act as holy and loving as God when the Holy Spirit is controlling you. Okay? I realize that our struggles with sin and worry and lust and anger can still seem powerful in our life. I get that. Therefore, a message like this can be discouraging for some. Maybe some of you didn't raise your hand, and you can feel bad if you think you're not experiencing the spiritual power of the normal, what I call the normal Christian life that I described today. And discouragement or guilt is obviously not God's intention for putting these truths in the Word. He didn't command you to imitate him just to make you feel guilty about how short you fall from that. That isn't why he put it in there. He gave you that command to remind you of what you're capable of through him. So let me end with a few thoughts on this, if you're struggling with this message today. First, Christian, never forget that no matter what you're experiencing, even if it's sin, God completely forgives you. He deeply loves you and cares for you. That never stops, no matter what you're experiencing, okay? The Bible promises, again, that nothing in all of creation could separate you from God's love for you, not even your struggle with sin. Second, just remember that you please God, even your desire to fight sin. We're not always going to be victorious over it. But even as we're fighting it, God's pleased with our fight. Your very desire to fight sin is evidence that the Spirit is at work in you and that you love God. But third, God wants you to know that there is something better available than a constant and exhausting struggle with sin. It is consistently Holy Spirit. It is a consistently Holy Spirit-filled and controlled life, a life full of peace and joy. And it is more consistently experiencing Jesus Christ living inside of you, letting him live through you, and loving people like he did. That's what he's calling us to. It is spiritually growing to be more consistently imitators of God as beloved children and living a life of love, just as Christ also loved us, as our primary text stated today. And in my next message in this series regarding the place of our mind in the Christian life, I'll explain how we practically grow to have God's Spirit more consistently controlling us. Amen. Spend a moment with the person. Well, let me pray first, and then we'll spend a moment with the person next to you to discuss the message. Father God, we're just trying to learn and understand what it means to have God living inside of us. The Bible's very clear. Through the presence of God the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus Christ himself lives in us. What does that mean for our lives? If that's true, then it should not surprise us that you have a command in Scripture that says something like, imitate me. Imitate me. As our Father, and we are your children, we want to imitate our dad. Thank you. You've given us the ability to do so in these frail clay jars of human bodies. They're still the temple of Almighty God, and we can let God live through us. I'm praying again for myself and my friends here today. Man, Lord, help us to unleash the supernatural power that's in us to unconditionally love people and be holy and be a different kind of human being on this planet. That people say, where do you get your power? It's from God living inside of us. Help us to glorify you on this earth by being imitators of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, spend a moment with the person next to you discussing what was meaningful to you about today. The band will be up in a moment to finish us in song.